Today on Real Life Radio.
God has given us as Christians the ability to forgive other people for chief reasons. One of them is that you, the one who has sinned against, can continue living a healthy, beautiful, strong, vibrant Christian life.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. Before we get into today's message, I want to tell you about Just Church. It's a 100% free event on Friday, September 8th at the Honda Center in Anaheim. We'll gather as a large community of believers to just worship and to just study God's Word. Register now at JustChurchSoCal.com. That's JustChurchSoCal.com. And now, let's get into the message. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series on the Gospel of Luke with a message titled, What Real Christians Look Like. You know, the Gospel of Luke is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus Christ, as really only Luke the physician could do. Here now, as we begin chapter 17, we'll consider what qualities make up a real Christian. You see, real Christians look like strangers in a foreign land. We live in a world that's not our home, but we're not offensive, even though we find so much in this world to be offensive to us. And we're not immoral, but we live our lives with morals and standards according to the Bible. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that a real Christian will not be destructive. Heaven may be our ultimate home, but while we're here on earth, we are to be quick to forgive, and we're to serve by helping others with our time and resources. Now, in his message called What Real Christians Look Like, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul is saying, what kind of a Christian would go along the way on a path and let the sun go down, and a well-used path, and put up a trip line and hide in the bushes, and as people come by, pull the line and trip people and laugh. Oh, look at him. Oh man, that guy fell down. Oh, man. Paul says, what are you, crazy? You're not to do that. You're not to act like that. You don't live life in such a way that people are tripped up. We're not of this world. True Christians love heaven. But listen, because we're going there, because our God is real, can I say this without somebody being offended? I don't know everybody in this room, but from one end of the sanctuary to the other, that's 260 feet that way and 105 feet that way, maybe not everyone in this room is a Christian. It's possible someone in here is not a Christian. And that person is looking and watching all the rest of us. And guess what? They should, don't you think? You should judge us. You, as a non-Christian, you get to judge us. I thought you just said that we're not to judge one another. I'm glad you asked. I'm glad you made that observation. Christians are not to judge one another. Yeah, but Pastor Jack, what if I see my brother who's a Christian and he's sinning? Well, we're going to talk about that in a second. You certainly go to him in love and you reach out to him. But the truth of the matter is, when it comes to the Christian judging one another, the word is we are not to condemn one another. And you say, Jack, I would never do that. Don't you think maybe that when you gossip about somebody else and you say, well, did you know what Betty did and what Johnny did and what Susie did and what? Don't you think maybe talking to another Christian, you are assassinating that person that you're speaking about? Jesus says, whoa, watch out. Point number two this morning, what real Christians look like, is found in verses 3-6. They look like people ready to forgive. Did you know that? I love this. You guys, I got to tell you something. I love the fact, everyone listen, I love the fact that God has commanded the Christian to forgive one another. You want to know why? Please understand this. Do I have your attention, everyone? Are you with me? This is the cool thing. You think for a moment, I know how you think because I think the same way. I am not going to forgive him. I am not going to forgive her. Why not? You don't know what they've done to me. The grief they've caused me. Hey, listen. God has given us as Christians the ability to forgive other people for chief reasons. One of them is that you, the one who has sinned against, can continue living a healthy, beautiful, strong, vibrant Christian life. You understand, forgiveness is not for the other guy. Forgiveness is to set you free. Have you misunderstood that all your life? Have you been withholding forgiveness to your son or to your daughter or to your mom or to your dad or to your boss or to whoever? Have you been withholding forgiveness thinking that you're winning? Are you crazy? Are you funny? You've been ripping yourself off. Listen, right away, issue forgiveness to someone. See, Jack, I'd love to, but I don't know if I have the power to do that. I want to do that, but they keep driving me crazy. What if you live with that person? What if you're married to that person? Oh, yes. The Christian is ready to forgive, except in the marriage. I don't see any fine print there anywhere. The real Christian, number one, is vigilant. Will you write that down? Vigilant about what's right. Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. Mark it in your Bible. The word means watch out for yourself first that you don't mess up. Take heed. Watch out. Be on guard to yourself. Here it comes. If your brother sins against you, rebuke him. Oh, I like that part. Oh, yeah. Come here. What? I'm going to rebuke you. No. No one has the right to rebuke. Some people think they have the ministry of rebuking. Isn't it funny? I have the ministry of condemnation. Come here. No one's got the ministry of rebuking. Every Christian has the responsibility to rebuke a brother or a sister who's sinning. Watch this. Note it. If a brother sins against who? Yeah, us personally, you, me. Go to him. You don't get on the phone and say, you know what he did to me? You don't do a mass mail out or a... No. Your sin in that moment is greater than probably the sin that person sinned against you. So check this out. Jesus says, here you go, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. The word here... To repent is to change his mind, the man or the woman, the husband or the wife, the child or the parent says, I'm sorry, it was wrong of me, you're right, thank you for pointing that out. I was wrong, and I'm sorry that I hurt you. Instantly, look at the word, repents, comma, forgive. You see that word, forgive? You and I love that word when you and I need forgiveness. Listen, are you with me? The real Christian loves to forgive. Until you give it up, until you learn to forgive, you're going to hold on and you will cause a rot to take control of your life that will destroy your Christian witness and your Christian example. In fact, Jesus said to the Christian, don't you know that if you do not forgive your brother, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you? That doesn't mean you're going to go to hell. It means that God's not talking to you. You're in the family, but if you withhold forgiveness, God says, I'm not speaking to you anymore. I'm not talking to you. God says, Jesus says, the Bible says, go and get forgiveness from your brother, then come and I'll talk to you. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2. 1 John 1 verses 5 through 9. Set the record straight first, go to your brother, then God will speak to you. There's too many Christians living a life today and God's not speaking to them. They don't hear God's voice. Their life doesn't matter, doesn't change anything. They're not salt and light. They don't make any difference. But they're Christians. They believe Jesus died on the cross for them, rose again from the dead, but they're sterile. They can't reproduce. What does a real Christian look like? A real Christian reproduces what? More Christians. God calls his sheep, the sheep of his pasture. You ever seen what happened when happy sheep? Happy sheep make more sheep. Remember getting back to the zoo thing? It's a big deal. Oh, here we are. A panda bear is going to be born at the zoo. A panda bear is going to be born at the zoo. Well, there a lot of stuff went on before the panda was born at the zoo. There was a lot of fellowship. There's a lot of panda talk. There's a lot of panda hugging. and panda loving. And that's how baby pandas come into the zoo. And Christians are the same way. Fellowshipping together, loving on one another. People start on the outside looking in. Hey, let me in. I want some of that. You guys are loving on each other, forgiving one another. I want some of that. You know what? Go find the perfect church. I challenge you. When you find it, you call me and I'll be there with you. The problem is, the moment you and I show up to that perfect church somewhere, we ruin it by showing up. There is no perfect church. Yeah, how come? If God's perfect, then how come there isn't a perfect church? Because God is perfect and everything else is not. And man, we are sinners, let me remind you, that in the midst of all the lunacy that takes place, you know what's greater to God than everybody looking kind of perfect and being apparently perfect? Is that his word be obeyed. And the greatest thing is that we forgive one another for Christ's sake, as Christ has forgiven us, so we forgive one another. That's what he wants of us. Yeah, but you don't know what he did. Listen, I don't need to know. And you need to stop thinking about it. And give it to God, Christian. Ready to forgive, vigilant about what's right. Secondly, under this, verse 4, the real Christian needs to be merciful about what's wrong. And if he sins against you 7 times in a day, wow, and 7 times in a day he returns to you saying, I repent, you shall forgive him. Everybody, look at your Bible. Mark that. Is that in your Bible? It's there. How many times? Can you imagine somebody coming up to you and saying, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. I just told a lie about you over there across campus. I just told a lie about you. And I'm really convicted. Please forgive me. Oh, man. Okay, you're forgiven. Okay, all right. Comes back in a half an hour. Man, I just did it again. I was over there by the tennis courts, and I just started lying about you. I'm so sorry. Please forgive. Okay. Wow. Kind of get a grip, okay? I love you, man, in Jesus. I'm rebuking you now. Look, shut your mouth. Where's the fear of God in your life, man? Listen, God's got ears. He's listening to you. Okay, calm down. See you later, all right? Sheesh. The guy comes back in 20 minutes. I did it again? What are you going to do with this guy? Jesus said, forgive him. And see, all of a sudden, you and I are attorneys. We are the attorney, and judge, and jury. I am not going to ask that guy to be my friend, and I'm not going to give him forgiveness 7 times. Do you remember what Peter, in another place, Peter came up to the Lord? Remember this? This is a classic. I wish Spielberg would do a skit on this. Peter walks up in front of, with the other disciples. There's 12 of them. Peter's got to be feeling really good about himself because he comes up and he says, Lord, if someone sins against me 7 times, shall I forgive him? Do I forgive him 7 times? Peter's implying, James, John, Philip, check it out. Hey, Jesus, I'll forgive somebody 7 times. That's how much I'm getting what you're saying. I'm really into this stuff, Jesus. I got it. Even if the guy sins against me 7 times. And Jesus speaks and says, I tell you, 70 times 7, Peter. 70 times 7.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Julius Manti, the great Greek scholar, says Jesus Christ is doubtless putting forth that true forgiveness is boundless, total, immeasurable, limitless toward the repentant sinner. See, you and I think, oh, I don't think that guy's really sorry about what he's saying sorry about. That's not for you and I to judge. How many times have you and I went to God, God, please forgive me, turned around, walked away, and 5 minutes later committed some sin, go back to God, God, I'm so sorry for thinking that thought. Aren't you happy that God does 70 times 7 in a day? See, our sin looks okay to us. I can deal with that. You know, it's nothing, God. I'll take it from here. But somebody else sins, and boy, are we, hey, I saw that. We're very lenient on ourselves in that way. Little sin sniffers and fault finders. I saw that. Watch out. Man, listen, when you know and when you realize how much you've been forgiven, it's going to be a joy and excitement for you to forgive others. How many times? As many as it takes. Because God does not say, Jack, you're really pushing the envelope now. You're getting close to the line, Jack. He doesn't say that. And that's very important. We're to be merciful. Thirdly, under this point, the real Christian is to be serious about their faith. We're to have real, true faith that is serious about the Word of God. And the apostles got it. They got it. Look at verse 5. And the apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. What a great response. Here's what I would have probably said. Jesus, great word that you just gave a moment ago. Can you make sure you keep all the losers out of my life? Great word, Jesus. Can you just make sure everybody in my life, just they all love me and they're very nice to me? They didn't even ask God to give them more tolerance or patience. The apostles said, we need faith regarding what you just said, Jesus. Church, listen up, we're almost done. There is no way that you and I can truly forgive someone without divine intervention. It ain't gonna happen. I'll forgive, but I won't forget. That's the best the world can do. That is no forgiveness. The Bible says that God not only forgives us, but he, what? Forgets. How will you and I ever love that person again or coexist with that person again? Because we need to ask the Lord, Lord, increase my faith. And what is that? Lord, increase my faith that I might forgive like you forgive. What a tremendous statement that is. Lord, increase our faith. Jesus said, if you had faith like a mustard seed, you could speak to a mulberry tree to be uprooted and be thrown into the sea and it would obey you. Now, Jesus is not saying, well, man, if you got great faith, go and reforest some area. He's not talking about that. He's saying, listen, this is so critical, so serious. A mulberry tree has a wicked root system that latches onto something and you're not gonna get that tree out of the ground. Jesus is saying, if you've got a little bit of faith, you can have, by God's grace, you can have forgiveness towards people that's divine. Just ask them. Christian, have you ever been there? And we pray like this, dear Lord, I don't love my brother as I ought. I pray in all honesty, Lord, I can't stand the guy, he drives me nuts. Here's what we pray next. Lord, increase my faith. Give me love for him. Give me love for her that I might forgive them. Lord, I must be set free and I want to be a witness. I want to forgive them. Third and final point, verses 7 to 10. What a real Christian looks like, they look like a servant to all. That's what a real Christian's all about. Real Christians serve one another. Which of you, Jesus said, verse 7, having a servant plowing or tending to sheep will say to him, that's the servant when he comes in from the field, come at once and sit down and eat with me. But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper and gird yourself and serve me till I've eaten and drunk, and then afterwards you may eat and drink? What's he saying? Verses 7 and 8, a real Christian wants to show Christ. You guys, this is who we're living for. Those of us who are real Christians, what concerns us the most is our witness towards others about who Jesus is. What do they think about Jesus after meeting me? What do people think about Jesus after they met me, after they met you? That should be an important thing to us. And Jesus is saying, man, when a servant comes in from the field, the master doesn't say, hey, sit down, put your feet up. No, the servant says, hey, you had a big day in the field. Thanks for plowing the field. But you know what? Now you got to cook dinner and serve it to me. You say, man, that's kind of crazy, isn't it? You know what? Jesus is saying that's what the world does for the world, to the world, in the world. But we as Christians, we are servants in a whole other concept. We get to plow the field. We get to tend the sheep. We get to make him a meal. We were once slaves of this world, and now we have willfully decided to be slaves of Christ. I want to obey him. I want to love, I want to speak, I want to say, I want to do what Jesus does. That's the life of the new Christian. We have chosen our slavery as Christians. I want to do what he says. And that's an important thing. Secondly, a real Christian desires to show servanthood. Not only the picture of Christ to the world, but servanthood. Jesus said in verse 9, but does he thank that servant because he did the things that he was commanded? No. Why? Because the servant does what the servant's been asked to do. And church, listen up. In John 14, 15, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's his commandment? Love one another. If we're going to love one another, we're almost done. If we're going to love one another, then we must forgive one another. And the most spiritual person in your life will be the one who says, I heard a message today at church. I read this portion of the Bible and I've been convicted. Listen, for the wrong that I've done in this relationship, I'm asking you to forgive me. No preconditions. I'm asking you to forgive me. You understand that you're doing that because Christ has commanded you, because you are now his servant. Number two, what they do with it is their business. You're now free. Set yourself free by trusting Christ. Lord, increase my faith. Give me that moment that I can do that. And if that person says, I will never forgive you, you pray for them. If they say, I got to think about this, then you pray for them. If they say, wow, then you pray for them. How can I serve you? Is the heart of the Christian. And then finally here, we end verse 10. A real Christian desires to show that love. A real Christian desires to show that love. And here Jesus makes this incredible statement. And we do well to obey. We do well to listen. So he says, so likewise, you, when you have done all those things which are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants and we have done what was our duty to do. My friend, as a Christian, we are to live a life where others around us are going to be elevated. Unprofitable, the word means here, I deserve nothing. Thank you, God, for allowing me to be here. And I want to leave you with this thought. I'm going to give you these five things to think about in your mind. And I want to leave this in your heart and in your mind. Number one, listen to this. Hey, you know, guys, I'm going to talk to men right now. Women, just tune out. Guys, just, how many men are in here? Raise your hands. Okay, put your hands down. Just talking to the guys right now. Guys, do you know that you and I have the power to change the world? God's given it to us. We just don't think so. We've either messed it up or people have talked us out of it. God made us men. And guys, here's what we're going to do. Number one, write it down. Ask him, ask God if you've offended God by your lifestyle choices, by what you're doing. Ask God. Men, just men. We don't need women to change the world. Men can change the world. I'm dead serious about that. Men, number one, guys, if we ask God, God, have I offended you in my lifestyle choices, what I'm doing, what I'm saying, what I'm looking at, how I'm living? Speak to me, Lord. I'm asking all of you men to make an appointment with God by tonight. Number two, write it down. Ask him if you've offended any brother or sister by your lifestyle choices. Write him down. Write down what he speaks to you. Number three, men, go to that person by whatever means necessary. Do a face-to-face, that's preferred. If that's not possible, call them. Write them a letter, text them. Men, do it. This is the command of Christ. I'm not making this up. Number four, humble yourself before this person or these people for Jesus' sake. Do everything within your power to make reconciliation and you'll be doing the will of God. Men, do that. Just do it. Take the high ground and do it. You think you're so big, bad, and tough and gnarly, and try that one. Humble yourself before them, guys. That'd take a real man. And then finally this, do it. Your obedience in this area reveals your true relationship with God, if it's real or not. If you can't do these things, gentlemen, we ought not to claim that we're Christians. And the reason why I said we don't need women to change the world, here's the reason why. I wasn't being rude. Men need to rescue their marriages, rescue their children. Men need to stand up and learn how to be men. You know why we don't need, listen, we're all done. You know why we don't have to lean on women to change the world? Because if a man changes and follows Christ, he'll change the world around him, and every woman will delight in a changed man.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called What Real Christians Look Like. Thank you for taking the time to be here today. You know, this message today is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke, a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Miracles. The word itself might bring up controversy in your own mind, but did you know that America's history is full of miracles? Are you aware of past crises when America's fate hung in the balance? Our country is rich in miraculous tales of answered prayer. So you're going to love our current featured resource. It's called Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer. It's by Susie Federer. 32 captivating but little-known stories from the French and Indian War, the American Revolution, World Wars I and II, and history up through Apollo 13. Learn the rest of the story of how people prayed, challenged, and inspired the nation, and how disaster was supernaturally averted. You are sure to get inspired as you uncover Miracles in American History, 32 Amazing Stories of Answered Prayer by Susie Federer. It's available for a gift of any amount at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.